Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I want to start the program once again with another Decca Yeah. And a double. Yeah. We did it!
We did it!
We did it!
We did it! We did it!
Because we did do it. We did it! Two straight Thursday night matchups that did not suck. Alvin, you are out of control. Decca Yeahs, we did it. Two for me's. Everywhere. That game did not suck last night. Not only did Rams Seahawks, did that game not suck, it was good. Really good. And a reminder that Russell Wilson is good. Damn good. Listen, nobody's going to hand out the MVP trophy in week five. But if so, you would carve Russ's name into the hardware right now because to me, he's a no-brainer. Or to quote Rams safety, Eric Weddle, Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind right now, end quote. Man, that is the truth. He is doing things that I'm not sure that anybody else can do. And I know those 300 total yards and four TDs and no picks came against a defense that got smoked by Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay a few days earlier. But what I saw last night were a number of passes that were the result of the Rams playing really good defense, except Russell Wilson is just better. And I'll get to that in a second, but before I do, why don't we take a moment and bask in what happened last night? Why don't we take a moment and appreciate what happened last night? That was a Thursday night game that did not make you want to go all Antonio Brown and drop and dot pedestrians with your flat screen 14 floors up by throwing it off the balcony. Normally, that's what you feel like doing on a Thursday night. That was the rare Thursday night game that was not an utter waste of our time. Now, going into that game, the thinking was, we're going to find out a lot about both of these teams. And now that I've seen that, while it's still early, I can say with certainty, both these teams are good. They're not perfect, even if Russ nearly was. But starting with the Ram defense, it didn't look nearly as bad as it did on Sunday. The offense looked pretty good, although it's still not totally clicking. And although they did everything they could to get Todd Gurley going early and often, he's still a question mark, and so is his usage. Oh, and speaking of question marks, Seattle still does some really weird things at really weird times, like Pete Carroll and that call he made on 4th-and-1, or their inability to kill the game off after the Tedrick Thompson INT. That game should have been over right then, but it wasn't. Except none of it matters because they've got Russell Wilson. And when you've got Russ Wilson, he can make a lot of mistakes go away. Because he can do things, seemingly impossible things, like completing this pass to Tyler Lockett in the back of the end zone.
Play fake. Steps back. Surveying the field. Now he rolls left. Now he scrambles. Now he's going to throw to the back of the end zone. Reaching up, making the catch. Did he get his feet in? He did! Touchdown! Seahawks! The littlest guy on the field climbed the ladder, kept his toenails in, and Tyler Lockett put 6 on the board for the Seahawks from 13 yards out.
Seahawks radio. I mean, tell me you didn't think that guy was throwing that ball away on that play. But then again, we should have known better because Russ does not give up on any play, ever. Now, if you want to go all stat head with it, you can point to the fact that according to NFL Next Gen Stats, that pass had a completion probability of 6.3%. The lowest completion probability of any TD pass in the last 3 years. All right. Thanks, nerds. That is a classic case of stats telling us something we already know. In fact, I'd say if you ask me 6.3, thanks, nerds. 6.3 seems high to me. Like, Jim Rome's current gen stats gives out about a 1 in a billion chance of being completed, give or take. But forget about completing that pass. How many people on the planet even throw that pass? Rolling to his left, being pursued, throwing across his body from the 25 to the back of the end zone in just the right spot. And the catch may have been better in the pass. How does Lockett make that catch and somehow tap his toes? I mean, that was ridiculous, right? And then there was the TD that gave Seattle the lead. Trailing 29-24, 4th-and-goal, from the 5, just over 2.5 minutes on the clock, Go ahead. Feel free. Roll it for me.
Here comes the rush. Russell steps up. Russell scrambles. Looks. Wide open. Chris Carson catches it twice. Touchdown, Seahawks. The toughest play to catch is one where you're wide open. And Chris Carson did it twice from 5 yards out. And the Seahawks take a one-point lead.
Now, Carson would tell you that he lost the ball in the lights. I don't know if he did or didn't, but could you imagine if he had lost that ball? But he didn't. My man had himself a game. But he made that play a hell of a lot more exciting than it had to be. Russell Wilson did all the work. He moved through the pocket. He stepped through traffic. Got to keep Tlaib to bite hard. Found Carson. Flipped it to him. And Carson nearly dropped it. But he volleyballed it up. Batted it to himself. Caught it. You could hear the entire Pacific Northwest exhale. But the game still wasn't over, even if it should have been over, because as good as Russell Wilson was last night, Jared Goff was pretty damn good. That is, until Tedrick Thompson made this play.
Takes the snap. Goff has time. Throws inside. Almost picked off again. Driving for the ball on the ground, that is, was Tedrick Thompson. Wait a minute. Everybody on the sidelines, Pete Carroll says, hey, he threw the flag down. He said, our guy got his hand under that. Ooh, he bobbled the ball, but
sure
it never
did.
Touched the ground. We're seeing it on the replay screen. The coaches next door to us literally jumped out of the booth saying, that's a pick.
That was a pick. You know that whole rap about guys who play DB? The reason they're on that side of the ball is because they can't catch? My man's got some hands. That was an amazing play. As good as Tyler Lockett's feet were on that touchdown pass, Thompson's hands were that good on that pick. You're never going to see better hand-eye coordination, ever. And again, I need to remind you, that all happened on a Thursday night. We're not supposed to be, I don't know, treated to that kind of magic on a Thursday night. This is supposed to be a couple of teams playing in the rain, committing holding penalties on every single play, and then settling for a 6-6 tie. But even though that should have iced the game and given Seattle the 30-29 win, it didn't. Because the Rams defense, right? It did not ice the game. The Rams defense came back with a stop. They got the ball back for the offense. Jared Goff went right back to work, starting from his own 7. He did everything he needed to do, short of kicking the game-winning field goal. That was Greg Zuerlein's job from 44 yards out. And if you look at his numbers, for his career, from 44 yards and closer, this dude is automatic.
Zuerlein, almost always money, gets this one away. It's up, and it's no good! Greg Zuerlein misses it! It started as a small roar from the Hawks' nest.
Oh! You know how Josh Lambeau came on the program yesterday? Remember Lambeau said that when he started with the Chargers as a rookie and he missed a kick against the Browns back in the day, a teammate cursed him out? Remember?
I did have one, you know, pretty noticeable miss that gave the Browns their only win in 2 years in Cleveland on Christmas Eve when I was with the Chargers. And I missed that last second kick and we lost. And that was a pretty lonely place to be. You know, some guys might mother F you. Some guys might say, hey, man, you're good. Some guys might say, hey, it's just a game. Get your head right and get ready for next week.
Will guys really MF you? I mean, it's one thing to think it, right? Will somebody actually come up to you and say that?
It certainly has happened in the past.
So the first thing I thought of when Zuerlein missed that kick was what Lambeau had told me on this show hours earlier. And I thought, there's no way any Ram is going to mother F Zuerlein on the flight back. I mean, sure, it sucks to lose like that, but it's not like the kicker is intentionally trying to miss. Does Zuerlein get to curse out everybody for the delay of game on the offense earlier in that drive? The Rams, though, are handling this the right way. Here's what Sean McVay had to say about that missed kick.
He just missed it, you know, and, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Greg. It's one kick. He's made a lot of big kicks for us. He'll continue to make a lot of big kicks for us.
And it did not sound like Jared Goff was looking to F-bomb Greg the leg either.
It didn't all come down to that kick. There was a lot of plays that we could have had, you know, a lot better. You know, I mean, we missed that touchdown early on, I guess in the third quarter to Robert, fourth quarter maybe. I mean, it's a million things that could have gone differently that would have changed that game.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Don't make a shake. Don't eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper instead. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty. It's tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. And it goes wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, wherever you are. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. Clones, if you don't see it, be sure to ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef? Will Brinson, my guest. Will, what's up? How are you?
Jim, what's going on, man? Gotta carve out your niche where you can, right? I figure sports and the confluence of sports and beer. So NC State made their own beer. They sell it at the football stadiums. You know, I gotta dive in on the reporting, and if they gotta pay me an old toughie, they pay me an old toughie. What can you do?
Best job ever. Good work if you can get it. Will Brinson joining us. I'll get to that in a minute. Will, last night was a reminder to me of a couple of things. Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback, but at the same time, how much do people freak out when you tweet about Russell Wilson? As an example, when you tweeted that he might be the most efficient quarterback in history, what was the general response?
I think people thought that was a backhanded compliment. And can you imagine being efficient as a backhanded compliment? Like, efficiency is paramount in the NFL. And I think one of the things that strikes me about Russell Wilson, I mean, you're spot on, Jim. If you say something about Russell, either the Russell Wilson acolytes are going to tell you that you weren't nice enough, or the Russell Wilson detractors are going to say that you're too nice. There's no happy medium for the guy, even though he's ascended, in my opinion, into one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. There is, like, and this has been true since college. I watched Russell Wilson in college a lot. He was at NC State from 2008 to 2010. He never lost to North Carolina. That was NC State's chief rival. I mean, he never lost, even when the team was substantially worse. And I think that what Russ has is, you know, I don't like to talk about clutch ability, but he has an innate sense to rise to his best performances on the highest levels. And you saw that last night. I mean, that throw to Tyler Lockett running across his body, running away from the line of scrimmage to the left as a right-handed quarterback, and with pressure in his face and dropping it in a bucket. I mean, a really small child-sized bucket in the back of the end zone to Lockett. Those are throws that only a few guys can make. 17 to 23, 268 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, four touchdowns and six incompletions. He might challenge Drew Brees' record for completion percentage in a single season that Brees set last year with the way he's going. And anyone who doubts Russell Wilson is foolish. The guy steps up on the biggest stages, and he's an elite quarterback.
Will Brinson joining us. You and I are on the same page. Will, why do you think that he inspires that kind of a reaction? Why do you think he's still that polarizing? What is that?
Well, I think part of it is that he is a mobile quarterback who, you know, still wins with his legs. I don't think, you know, he's a short quarterback. He's sort of a confluence of these things that we can never agree on, Jim. And additionally, you know, when people doubted Russell Wilson, it happened at a point in time when he was winning early with a great defense. And that's what's so interesting about this Seahawks team in particular. You know, this Seahawks defense is not good. I mean, the Rams should have beat him last night because the defense was playing 10 yards off Cooper Kupp on the final drive and letting Jared Goff eat up yardage for free. And I mean, Greg Zuerlein with a 44-yarder, that should be banged down automatically. You know, I think that this is going to be a situation where Russ might be the number one challenger for Patrick Mahomes for MVP right now, because if that defense isn't good and he's forced to win with his arm because they have to keep up with other teams, and I think that's happening right now, and he doesn't throw, you know, he's throwing up tons of touchdowns, and he's leading the NFL right now. He's got a game on everybody else, but he's at 12 and he has zero interceptions. I mean, if he keeps that sort of pace up and he completes more than 73% of his passes, he's going to be in that mix, because he's going to be the one that carries the Seahawks to a division title.
I mentioned for that very reason, Will, if we had a vote today, I'd give him the MVP award right now, because he does not have that kind of supporting cast around him. The defense is not nearly what it was. He's got no protection up front. I'd give it to him right now. Hey, Will, what about the Rams? Now, they've lost two games in the last 5 days. I'm not saying that they should be panicking, but what's the bigger concern right now for the Rams? Is it their balance on offense, or is it their defense?
Yes.
Right.
I think both things are concerned, Jim. When you look at the schedule, their next 3 weeks, right? 49ers at home, at Falcons, and the Bengals before their week 9 bye. They really need to get right, because they have the Steelers, Bears, Ravens coming out of that, and those are three tough games. Defensively, I would be extremely concerned with Los Angeles, because it looks like, you know, the cornerbacks who we believed were elite maybe aren't. I'm scared of talking mess about Aqib Talib because that's just a guy I don't want to be on my bad side. But they've given up 85 points in the last 2 weeks to Tampa and Seattle. I mean, two teams that can throw the ball pretty well but aren't juggernauts. You know, that week one game was against a banged up Carolina. You know, they lost. Drew Brees got lost in week two. Cleveland really just didn't show up in week three. And so maybe we're starting to see some slippage here in terms of their defense. Offensively, what I'm really intrigued by is their usage of tight ends from last night and over the past few weeks. Gerald Everett looks like a player. And Tyler Higbee's back from injury. He's playing really well. I kind of wonder, Jim, we saw them, you know, for 2 years under Sean McVay, run this outside zone scheme that worked really well. And then late last year, Matt Patricia showed that if you walk six guys up to the line of scrimmage, you can really challenge them in that outside zone run. And that once you stop them from doing that, it eliminates their ability to run play action the way they want to. And it's made Jared Goff uncomfortable. The offensive line isn't as good as it was last year. Todd Gurley, look, I get he scored twice, but he's not the same guy. We can all agree on that. He's not as active in the passing game. And I think what they might be trying to do right now is shift what their signature offensive setup is. Maybe some more 13 personnel, utilizing Tyler Higbee, utilizing Gerald Everett, running more with two tight ends, and then having those guys leak out in the passing game. If they can adjust on the fly over the next few weeks and make that sort of their bread and butter, I think they could take off in the second half of the season. But I think both sides of the ball are very concerning.
Their two tight ends were enormous last night. Will Brinson joining us. Will, what about your preseason pick, the Minnesota Vikings? They have not had a very good week, have they? What do you make of the situation involving Stephon Diggs and the Vikings?
Yeah, I'm just glad the Vikings are taking the heat off my other pick of the Steelers.
Super Bowl. Right.
I got that going for me. Look, I'm worried about it. I mean, you know, I don't think they're going to trade Stephon Diggs. He's too good a player. They know that unless they can get some, you know, great first round pick in return for him, and that's probably not going to happen. I just don't think you do it. And they have bigger concerns, Jim. I mean, primarily with the offensive line in terms of pass protection. It's been fine in running the ball. They could easily, you know, be 3-1 at this point and no one would be freaking out. I think they have a pretty good schedule coming up where they can get right on the offensive side of the ball. The Giants aren't good against the secondary. My bold prediction on CBS Sports HQ on Thursday night was Kirk Cousins throws five touchdown passes in a super duper squeaky wheel game for the wide receivers where you set up play action with Dalvin Cook and you chunk it deep. And look, if Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen get a couple of touchdowns this weekend, That's going to alleviate all the concerns. But, yeah, I mean, it is fair to wonder, can Kirk Cousins, can the Minnesota Vikings offense beat a good defense or a good team? Because Kirk Cousins heretofore does not have a great record against teams that are above average, and certainly against good defenses like the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, who they're going to have to beat if they want to win the division title.
And in fact, Will, as you know, he's got a terrible record against teams that are above average. I'm going to save my thoughts for the NFL and CBS for that very topic. Listen, Will, before you go, there are a few things more corny and more tired than a so-called revenge game, but given how things ended in Oakland for Khalil Mack, how badly do you think that he wants to make an impression and a statement above and beyond what he normally does when he gets that shot against the Raiders in London?
No doubt about it. And anytime, you know, a revenge game is a legit revenge game, Jim, when the guy is, you can see it in his eyes that he's angry about it, but it, the words of his mouth are like, oh, you know, it's another game. It's just a business trip. This is not a business trip for Khalil Mack. He has 17 sacks since the Raiders traded him. The Raiders have 18. He's going to want to show them that they made a major mistake. And if I were Derek Carr, I would be petrified right now. The only reason I don't love the Bears to just steamroll the Raiders, frankly, is the line, which is 4.5, because that's too low. It makes no sense. John Gruden has openly stated that he gets vertigo for a month when he has to fly for 14 hours. I mean, in last year, the Raiders went to London, they lost. And then the next three games, they lost by a combined 54 total point, or they had a negative 54 point differential their next three games. I mean, I don't think this is a good matchup for them. The Bears defense is great. They're rolling right now. I don't care if Chase Daniel is a quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Nagy, Khalil Mack, throw anybody you want in there. I think the Bears will take care of business. And yeah, this is a Khalil Mack special where he comes out with his hair on fire and spends the day chasing down Derek Carr. Could be a long, trip over the pond for Mr. Carr.
So let's finish where we started, Will. It's Friday. You are the self-proclaimed preeminent sports beer analyst slash reporter in Raleigh. Have you already drawn up your play sheet for what you're going to consume and when you're going to consume it this weekend? What's it look like?
Yeah, actually, you know what? It might be a little bit subdued for me this weekend, Jim, because we were doing a 4:30 show. I got time to shine with our colleague Adam Schein that I got to record on video this afternoon. And 4:30 on CBS Sports HQ, you can watch me and John Breach do a live show then covering the NFL. So I'm limited to 5 p.m. on. There will be some old toughies in my future, potentially some IPAs. And then I'm flying to Stamford, Connecticut for some video stuff on Saturday. So my typical Saturday tailgating experience with NC State on a bye, a little subdued weekend for me. I'm kind of impressed. I'm maturing. I'm growing up. But there'll be a couple of ice-cold beers in my future.
No doubt. Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior writer, the host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, good friend of the program, joining us and breaking it down. Will, have an amazing weekend. Always good to have you on the show. Will, thank you.
Likewise, Jim. Have a good one, buddy.
Listen, if you're like me, you're always looking for a better, faster, cleaner source of natural energy and nutrition. Good news. I've done the research. I found it for you. I'm talking about Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens Ultimate Daily is the obsessively researched all-in-one nutritional support powder, which contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food ingredients. Check this out. Just one scoop of it contains essential prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, and more, and they all support your gut health, your energy levels, and your immune system. And it's so easy. I mean, every morning before breakfast, I just mix up a scoop into 10 ounces of water and I get a jump start on feeling my best for the rest of the day. On the road, away from home, the travel packs make it really easy to keep up your healthy routine because there's no need to carry around multiple pill bottles. Simply put, Athletic Greens can help you feel amazing every day, no matter what life throws at you. If you struggle to get in nutrient-dense fruit and veggies, or you just don't feel as good as you used to, then Athletic Greens is here to help. Right now, you can jump on over to athleticgreens.com/Rome, claim this special offer, 20 free travel packs valued at $79 with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Rome. Athletic Greens. Start your day right. Good things will follow. Matt in LA. You do your thing, Matt. What's up?
Jaime Roma from Chavez Ravine to Chapultepec, Mexico. From Irvine to the Ivory Coast, you're welcome. Matt in LA montage in conjunction with the worldwide CBS Sports Network is on fire like a pregame or postgame Percy Harvin spleef. More hyped up than that silly putty stretched chin Peter Carroll's rocking, watching Greg Belega attempt a game-winning field goal as both hands are tied around his neck. More electric than Walker Buehler was gassing Expos like he was at a Montreal Chevron station. But that's not why I called, Jimmy. I called the Hall of Fame pimp in the box as a proud member of Plumber Nation. And when the goat of coaching, Bill Mouth, kisses daughter, Bella Cheat, says, quote, it's better than being a plumber, I got to respond. Yeah, thanks, Captain Ballsvius. Of course, being a professional athlete beats being a plumber. But you got some sack coming after blue-collar plumbers like myself, Billiam. Stick to running your dynasty by any means necessary. Stick to hanging out with dudes that go to scrubbing tubs, allegedly. You freakazoid, and stop nude hot tubbing at work, you weirdo. Aloha means a hola. Where it's Rick Eisenhower actually reinventing the wheel as a young red-blooded American? Wore James Kelly wearing It's Rick WW2 helmet like a small skull thimble, but unwore just peanut butter and ranch neck, killing it in commodities, but not having enough to have a damn gym membership. Outro.
Rack him, Matt in LA, with a vicious crack back on the hood. Or both of the good brothers. Let me open it up to you. 1-800-636-8686. They are WWE superstars. They are the good brothers. Three-time IWGP Tag Team Champs. They won the Raw Tag Team Championship on July 29th. host of Botch Club, which aired as a special on the WWE Network. Hawk, what the hell are you doing in here, man?
Uh-oh.
Fanboy, look at him. Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson are not only back home where they belong, but they're in the studio. Fellas, what's up?
Oh, Romy, my father, my mom, my Uncle Ken, my grandma, they're all watching this. And don't get me wrong, WrestleMania was cool. 75,000 people in Orlando. Or where was the last WrestleMania? New York? We didn't really care because we weren't on it. So we didn't really care too much. Yeah. We just wanted to get
it's
the hell
starting
out of
already.
There.
All right.
With that said, coming into the jungle is more important to my family than anything else I've ever done. Thank you for the comeback, baby. And
dude,
look how Gallows
not that
is dressed.
Dude, big dog, you clean up all right.
So, Brother Rome, I was excited to come here.
Wait, we didn't get a brother pump today because of, let me tell you what Big Man said. Go ahead.
Man.
Hold on, what's you got? Technical issue. All right, so Hawk. All right, so Carl, you guys did not get your brother pump
in before
the show. That's not like you guys.
No brother pumps today because Gallows messages me and goes, listen, I've got a problem. We've got a workout today after Staples Center. I said, why? What's going on, bud? And he goes,
man,
my entire bottle of mouthwash dumped all over my suit. So if you smell a minty delight, well, that's the big man.
Brother Rome, 17 years of traveling. 17 years. Do you think I brought a garment bag for the blue carpet to come on, Jim Rome? No.
You should have.
Do you think I used a Ziploc bag for my mouthwash? No.
Have we ever?
So I wake up, and I'm not going to iron anything. I'll steam this thing in the shower. I'll go get a brother pump. I pick it up, and I went, my God. The entire large mint Listerine, completely empty. My gym clothes, my suit. So if you smell good breath, it's me.
Dude, so what's that got to do with the brother pump? Don't you have somebody who can handle that while you still get your brother pump
That's
in?
That's what I was thinking. Why did that take away from the brother pump?
I had to hand dry the son of a gun.
So he put the what's it called? The dryer on it. The blow dryer.
Dude, the suit's not, it's not that nice of a suit, bro. Get your brother pump in.
It's not that nice of a suit.
All right. Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows joining us. All right, I appreciate the hustle, but dude, look at the kicks. The snake skin. Like,
oh,
is that alligator?
I believe these are python. I collect these things for some odd reason.
When I came down from the hotel this morning, I looked at the way the big LG was dressed, and then I saw the snake skin boots, and I go, man, like I told you before we went on air, I don't think that matches.
He didn't say that to my face. He's saying it now.
Doesn't. Hey, yeah, well, here we are on the air. We are everything on the air. Those things don't match, though.
Hey, man,
Roman.
The main thing is the main thing, dude. Don't get caught up in the lifestyle,
that's right.
All right? Don't get caught. No, I'm telling you, don't get caught up in the lifestyle. You get that brother pump in. You don't get caught up in your suits and your snake skin. What's
oh, we're
up,
caught
man?
Up in the lifestyle, in the lifestyle, Roman.
You are, dude. I've seen your backyard. I know you are.
Oh, yeah. Babe, I'm living it
how's
hard.
How's the pool life?
The pool life is unbelievable. So here's my thing. 2 weeks ago, my hot Asian wife, which you of course met here, Christine. She, we dropped the kids off at the bus 9 a.m. Come back, I'm ready to get a brother pump on. All right, so we have one baby at home now. When all the three kids get on the school bus,
do you have the gym in the house now? Where are you getting the brother pump on at home?
Of course, the gym's in the house.
Of course, man. My bad. Yeah, my bad. What was I thinking?
The Anderson Dojo.
That's
but
right.
I come back from dropping the kids off.
But
at the
dude,
bus.
Is that gym that the ab roller in the backyard? Is that what you? Is that what they call a gym now?
That's just for the neighbors. That's for the neighbors and myself. If you walk around my house with a shirt on, you have to take it off immediately because no shirts allowed.
Dude, why do you even own shirts at this point?
After I drop the kids off at the bus, I come home and Christine goes, it's 9:30 a.m. She goes, you want some wine? And I go,
oh, hell yeah.
I go, well, yeah. So we started having ourselves a little party before it's even 10 a.m., baby.
Okay,
put
man.
Put the kid to sleep, and we're rocking.
Yeah. So that answers the question about the backyard. Now, how many reps? How many reps on that ab wheel are you cranking out at a time?
4 by 25. 100 reps a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get them. Feel that, baby.
Bro, let's be honest. The ab wheel in the backyard by the pool is just for the other wives and to let the husbands in the neighborhood know. I've been around this guy for too long.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to say, it's for the other wives.
Anyways, Carl Anderson lives here.
Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, they're in the house. All right, so LG, the OC is back in the OC. For
yes,
those
sir.
Who do not know, the two of you combined with AJ Styles to form the OC. It's a group with history. When did the three of you first join up?
Where is AJ?
Yeah.
And where is AJ?
Conspicuous by his absence is Uncle Allen. Where is he?
The WWE pulled him.
At AJStyles.org, is that what it is? I don't know. You should hit him up and complain.
But you know,
Carl, answer the question and then the other question. Where is AJ?
Where is AJ?
I'm happy to see you guys, but where is AJ?
Where the hell
we
is
need
AJ?
AJ here.
Guess we're going on about, man, AJ's the man. AJ's the man. AJ's not here.
Yeah, I know.
No show Styles.
He's got heat with us, too, now.
That's right.
Okay.
2014, right? That was when the three of us came together in Japan, and we've kind of been together you know, on and off ever since. And the opportunity presented itself again in WWE when we re-signed those massive pool building contracts.
Yeah.
So
I might build a second pool over on the side.
I wish you would.
A second pool.
You should build me a pool house for when I visit.
We actually extended the patio, though, to a little basketball court.
No kidding.
Caden, my
you were living so large.
I would say, hey, a lot of day. Hey, lived in Los Angeles, you know, from 2006, 2008. That was the brokest I'd ever been in my life.
Right.
So, like, you know.
The buck does not go as far here, big dog.
It's funny to talk about. Like, you know, thankfully, we did sign some nice contracts now and this and that. But, you know, we're brothers that came from absolute nothing anyway.
Yes.
So to be able to be where we are is a blessing and a dream come true.
All right, we're talking to the Good Brothers. They're here in studio. So back in July, you were in Little Rock, Arkansas. You guys had yourself quite a night. What do you remember about that night?
Gee, what was Little Rock, Arkansas?
I don't know. What did you do? And why are you looking at me like that?
Did I send you a video? I don't remember.
No, I'm talking business.
Oh, I don't remember at all.
Did we win the tag team titles again?
Oh,
yes, that's what that was.
Oh,
jeez.
Second time for the Raw tag team titles.
Yeah. We didn't.
Dude, I would never sell you out for those texts you sent me on Friday afternoons, man.
Winning the tag team championship, who did we win them from? The Revival?
Yeah, well, we were in
the Usos.
Yeah, it was a multi-man tag match. I just remember there was a giant dive suplex thing that everyone landed on us, and we both ate boots to the face.
More importantly, though, Romy, when we lost the tag team titles to Rollins and Braun Strowman, two big stars in the WWE, and our friends off camera, of course.
Braun!
But people like to say it's scripted entertainment, of course, right? Like I'd rather take a real punch from a Hawk than have Braun Strowman run me over fakely any day, because he almost killed me. But when Braun pinned me, and whenever they won, right, Braun hits me with his big slam.
Oh, this is great! Yeah.
So there's the big slam. It hurts.
The 350-pound man.
Sure, right?
Legit,
sure.
Not wrestling.
But the crowd's going insane. I don't know where we are. The crowd's going nuts.
Little Rock.
There's a big slam. Bam! Braun turns over to cover me. As he's covering
me, he's excited.
All 300 pounds are on top of me. So for 3 seconds, I died.
Dead.
One, two, three. I'm going.
Dude, did you see a white light? Did you go to the other side? What was that like for 3 seconds?
I thought it was over, and I couldn't wait till they got off of me. Like,
wait, yeah, but it's fake. How could you almost die, right?
Yeah, exactly. Enough said.
My favorite thing about the fake argument over the years has been this, and this is an example that I've always given. Like, if I pick this chair up and hit you over the head with it, would be terrible, right?
Right.
What if I told you at 9 a.m. I'm going to do it at 8 p.m. and you had to think about it all day? It makes it way worse.
Right. The anticipation is always worse, right?
Absolutely.
Tyler in Edmonton DM'd me this morning. I wanted to tell you that, Romy.
Let's have that. What did he say?
Yeah, he said, well, hey, if you want to play along with something, let's do it. And I'm thinking, Tyler, brother, you're Tyler from Edmonton.
Right.
That's enough said, right?
Right.
The poor guy lives in Edmonton. Give him some slack.
Dude, I love, so are you interacting with the clones? Are they sliding into your DMs?
Oh, just sliding into my DMs. Of course, they want to talk snap when the air comes on, but then they want to slide into my DMs and tell me how much they love me.
Who was the caller you just said was a great caller?
Well, Matt in L.A. just knocked one out. But
did you like that?
Of course. And he knocked one out a couple weeks ago that was really good, or whenever it was. And then Fred in Buffalo knocked one out.
Fred in Buffalo? You mean Rick in Buffalo?
Rick in Buffalo. Sorry. Rick.
Sorry, Fred. I mean Rick.
Sorry.
Rick. Yeah. Even better, Luke. Now you're acting like you know this stuff now. When you first rolled in here, man, you wouldn't have known Fred from Rick.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you know it. Now you're down. I like that, man. You come up. Yeah. You've come up in the world.
Fred in Buffalo is awesome.
I'm a clone scholar now.
Rick in Buffalo.
A clone scholar now.
Rick in Buffalo killed one recently, but right before, of course, the Patriots went in and killed him, but they skated away with it.
Good Brothers. There are a million things that I want to talk to you guys about, but the phone lines are jamming up. They want a piece. They
want
in.
Is it Fred in Buffalo?
Let's do it. Well, you got your choice. Actually, you know what? You guys are big in Wisco because you got a Green Bay call, a Louisiana call. Let's go to Derek in Green Bay. See how that goes.
Here we go.
Derek, you're on with the Good Brothers. What's up?
Rome, thanks for the vine. I'm sitting here with my pants off, about six White Claws deep, listening to these two good brothers. They're a hoot. And I just got to know, when are we going to get the return of the legendary podcast, Talkin' Shop?
We have a Talkin' Shop fan here, and he knows the deal. Crack a beer, take off your pants, listen to the worst podcast ever. Hashtag Talkin' Shop. We're in negotiations right now. For a possible return.
Just cut the poor guy off. He didn't get to say out. He didn't get to say anything.
I sure did.
No, I did that. Actually, I cut him off.
Well, you know, Romy, this might have been 2013 or something. Yeah. We were in Japan all the time. We thought it was cool. We were basically there, 6 months out of the year. And I go, man, we got to start a podcast. And we didn't do anything except drink beer, drink wine, drink Gilby's.
All the things you do now, except you drink better beer and better wine
Of course. Or Gilby's vodka for him.
You leave the Gilby's out of this, pal.
And then we just would load up a microphone and talk about it. And then we'd wake up the next day and go, oh no.
Literally the worst
podcast.
What did
we do?
What did we do? Yeah. And then for some reason it caught on, I guess, because we're.
And they want to come back. Yeah, want to bring it back.
Producer Rock, who's from here at LA, who we're going to hopefully see later tonight, we go, guys, I cannot use this. Do you know what you said? Well, not really. What did I say?
They wanted to come back, but the price is a lot higher now.
Always. It's a podcast, though, man. That's the beauty of a podcast. You can say and do pretty much whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can.
That's guys must have been way out there if he couldn't use that stuff.
That's where you drop your F-bombs.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's
know your room. Know your room. It's okay to do that once in a while. Hey, but don't be gratuitous with it. If you have a reason to do it, man, use it the right way.
The F-bombs?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we don't really.
Just don't do it here.
We won't do it here ever, yeah.
Let's go to Louisiana. Courtney in Louisiana. You are on with the Good Brothers. Courtney, what's up?
Hello, Courtney.
Hey, Carl and Luke. Long time no speak. I've been an OG. I've been with the club since the very beginning. Carl was my fave in the beginning, and I just have a question. With Finn coming back to NXT, what are the chances of Finn, Luke, and Carl all going up against the Undisputed Era? What are the chances of that? And, Carl, I miss you.
Oh, hello. Oh,
she misses you.
She misses me.
How about that?
Sweet yeah. Courtney.
That's about the ab roller in the backyard.
Yeah, that's an ab roller.
That's Courtney. All right. Yeah.
Have you been driving around these Tampa neighborhoods?
How about the professional wrestling talk on Jim Rome?
Dude,
this is big.
That was impressive. So a lady clone, no less.
A lady clone too. Finn Balor is a friend of mine that we go back since 2006. We lived here in Los Angeles together, and then we went to Japan together, and we were there for 8 years. And he's a big star now, and he just returned to NXT, and we started this thing in Japan called the Bullet Club, which reached heights of, outside of the WWE that people, which is, it's pretty incredible to get over outside of the WWE.
Sure.
And that's what the Bullet Club did. And so people still always have this romantic thing of all of us getting back together and, will it happen? I don't know. Will WWE pull the trigger? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it just keep on waiting.
Yeah, it's not exactly in our hands. Will we be open to it? Yeah. Of course. We're open to do anything. And, again, he's our boy, so why not?
It's a creative process. There's writers and it's a scripted.
It's a entertainment. Process. It's right.
It's
exactly.
Like Lost. You want Lost to go well, right? But
I love that analogy. Run that. Don't jack up your best analogy. Run that out there. Yeah. Lost is scripted, right?
Lost was scripted, guys.
And
And so was Fred in Buffalo. I'm sorry,
Rick, bro.
It's Rick, dude.
It's Rick. When you guys look at the growth of wrestling over the past few years, you're to the point right now where SmackDown is in prime time tonight at Staples. I mean, how enormous is that? Could you argue that that's the biggest non-pay-per-view in history?
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, the debut on Fox, the premiere, we're pulling out all the big guns. You got The Rock showing up tonight. It's going to be huge. We're here in Los Angeles. There's no bigger platform for us, I don't think, to do this on. I got my blue mouthwash suit for the blue carpet. It's going to be a big event from 3 to 5. So
think about that.
I was going to say The Rock's coming out. Are you into that?
Dwayne Johnson, of course. Yeah, Dwayne Johnson's coming out. There's so many other things he could be doing.
Absolutely.
For sure. He's got to be busy. I think he'll wait on his bus. He'll wait until a segment hits. He'll come out, and then he'll get the hell out of there.
You guys should get a good brother pump in with Dwayne.
Oh, I think please, so. Yeah, man, I'd love to rock some buys and tries with the Dwaynester.
Right?
Think about that.
1-800-636-8686. You should do that. Guys, you're running out of time. If you've got a question or a comment for the Good Brothers, they're in studio. Their segment is moving fast. Mike D for 3. Look at this guy coming off social onto the phones for the Good Brothers. Mike, what's up?
Jimmy, what's happening, man?
What's going on? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I had a question for Carl, something that's been bugging me for a while now. He, by trade, is a professional wrestler. So, by definition, you got to have a personality that's larger than life, a name that represents that. Guys like Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts, The Ultimate Warrior, those guys. And he picks Carl Anderson? What's going on there, man?
Carl, handle that the way you want, but if you want to break that guy off and bring the hammer and buzz him, you go right ahead.
Here's the thing. I don't blame him. He's right.
Well, you didn't choose it either.
Yeah, I also didn't choose it. I mean, like, you know, in Japan,
hey,
I was,
man, you know, it'd be a great stage name. The one I already have, Carl Anderson. Yeah, because I'm like, gonna be Carl Anderson.
I want to be Lonnie Donaldson on television.
Well, that was my first thought because, well, you know, there's a move called the Spine Buster, right? Where you lift them up, you spin them, and you slam them on their back. And there's a guy named Arn Anderson.
Anderson.
He was in the Four Horsemen in the 1980s. A guy that I grew up watching, right. Loved him. Well, I do that Spine Buster really good, and sure I did that for the first time. And this guy goes, "You're just like Arn Anderson. We're gonna call you Carl Anderson." And I go,
"Oh, wow."
I go, all right. I mean, that was it.
Sounds great.
Yeah, anyways.
But your moniker.
Can I start making money?
Your moniker in Japan was the Machine Gun. It doesn't get a lot cooler than that.
That's good.
So. It was cool, but you know, you can't come to America calling yourself the Machine Gun. It's just different nowadays.
No, you can't do that now. Listen, you mentioned Japan a few times. Guys, when you went back through this summer, given that you were there back in the day, what was it like to go back this summer?
Man, yeah.
Needed more days, man. It was awesome. We tagged with Triple H in Ryogoku Sumo Hall, a building that's near and dear to us. He's had a ton of big matches in there before I got there, so it was really cool.
Yeah, you know, and to be in that building that we've had big matches in, and the Tokyo fans are so different, so cool. They sit there and they kind of wait for something, and they do an awesome clap. They go nuts. And to be in there with Triple H, who was one of the biggest stars that our industry's ever seen. It took us to a next level, and it was really cool to do that in Tokyo.
All right, bro. It's good to have you back home. I've got to get out, but I'm so glad we could come together. And LG, man, you rallied up, man. That was a lot of adversity to overcome. You spilling your mouthwash all over your blue suit. Matching up some boots that don't match. Right. Missing your brother pump. Way to man up and own that. Way to play through it. I'm really impressed.
Thanks, good brother.
Man, good brothers. It is so good to see you guys. Proud of you guys.
Good to see you.
I love the jungle relationship. Love the way you interact with the clones. Have a great night in LA on the big stage. And I'm glad you came to pay it back here. Good to see you guys.
Thanks, Romy.
Thanks, brother Rome.
Anything else? You guys good?
Oh, we're good, man. Right. SmackDown tonight, and then we're going to San Diego tomorrow, Sacramento on Sunday, Bakersfield on Monday, and then going home for a couple days, baby.
Come see the boys.
Back to the backyard. Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, they are WWE Tag Team Superstars in our house and coming back home.
Let me play out a scenario for you. You're walking down the street. You're minding your own business. And lo and behold, right there at your feet is a $100 bill. What are you going to do? Are you going to pick it up, put it in your pocket, or are you just going to walk right on by? Of course you'd pick the money up. So that said, why do you keep picking winners without betting on them? This is why you need to go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And I would not tell you to bet with MyBookie if they were not the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this football season, you want to bet with MyBookie. Join right now. There's an amazing deal, an amazing opportunity. If you join now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code Rome. Activate that offer. That's the promo code Rome. Once again, this is an amazing opportunity. You join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code Rome. Activate right now. Promo code Rome. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Raina in Michigan. Another lady clone, but not just any lady clone. Let's go to Michigan. Raina. Raina, you are on with Jim Rome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
Raina, tell the clones who you are.
This is Carl Anderson's mom, Raina, and his number one fan, Uncle Ken Smith. Never misses him.
Oh, that's super. So what did you make of seeing your son back in the jungle on TV, and what do you make of how his entire life has changed?
Oh, it's wonderful. And I want to thank you for having him on because he loves Romy. Loved him.
And yep. Romy loves Carl. He's a blast. He is so much fun. What was it like for you to see him work as hard as he has to get where he is, given where he was back in the day? You must be so proud.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, I was just telling Uncle Ken, I said, you know, I always hoped he would make it, but I never knew that he would actually do it, and I'm just unbelievably, we're so proud of him. And his grandma, who's 93, she couldn't get over here to see him, you know, watch it, but she follows him too, so it's awesome. Awesome.
Raina, what's he like with the kids, and how is it being a grandmom?
Oh my gosh, he is an unbelievable dad. Great, and I'm going down there. I'm going down there in a week. He says, Mom, come down here. We'll sit by the pool. Maybe I'll get an ab workout in. I don't know. And you know, sit by the pool and we'll have a little drink and we'll figure everything out because I'm moving his grandma in a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, that's fun. Anyway. That's fun. Well, listen, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you saw that. And I'm so glad the family's doing so well, Raina. It's so nice to hear your voice on the show. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having him.
All right. See you later. Have yourself a great weekend. Raina is Carl Anderson's mom. Tony Loughman is my guest. Tony, what's going on?
As always, Jim Rome is modest. I appreciate you rattling off my credentials, but may I salute you publicly for the first time on being a Hall of Famer. Much deserved, overdue, and on behalf of all your clones, we are thrilled for you.
My man, Tony, thanks so much for saying that. That means a lot to me. I really do appreciate you saying it, and thank you very much. Tony, back to your thing. You're always running on peak energy, peak enthusiasm, but as somebody who loves baseball and somebody who loves hockey, how are you feeling right now when it's October, the MLB postseason's underway, the NHL regular season just kicked off? How are you feeling about things?
Jim, you know me well. If we all think back to Ed Grimley on SNL, minus the hairdo, that's where I'm at. My pulse is about 120, 130 at all times, right now. I am so pumped. And then you've got college football. Never mind the fact that my beloved Bruins have one win, Jim. One win. Chip Kelly, what in the world? But that aside, what a time to be alive. And these baseball playoffs, speaking of pulse, I want to mention something to you. I'm talking to John Smoltz the other day. Fellow Hall of Famer, granted, different Hall of Fame. But he said to me, Tone, you'd be surprised how many guys don't want the ball in October and they don't want to be in the big spot. I said, how can you tell? He said, find the guys with the lowest pulse. I, of course, could appreciate that because, as I mentioned earlier, I've got Ed Grimley's level of poise and calm. I'm always with the heart racing.
I like it. Tony Loughman joining us. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask you about that conversation. You had a long conversation with John Smoltz about what it takes to succeed in the postseason as a pitcher. Aside from him saying to you, hey, look, don't get it twisted. Not everybody wants the ball. What did he tell you and what was your biggest takeaway from that conversation?
So I was blown away by this. Smoltz is a family man, loves his brother, loves his wife. He's just an awesome dude. He's really down to earth. He told me a fascinating story that I think captures just how much it takes to do the kinds of things he did in the postseason, playing it so many times, obviously, with those Bobby Cox-led Braves, win the World Series in 95, end up a Hall of Famer. He told me about a conversation he had with his brother. It was like 10 or 11 in the morning. He was going to pitch that night for the Braves. His brother, it was just basically like a normal conversation where his brother was like, you know, have you seen this movie? Have you had this at this restaurant? And patiently, but very firmly, he says to his brother, listen, I've got about 118 decisions that I have to make tonight, and every one of them is critical. I can't do any more of this conversation. This is hours before they leave for the ballpark. This is hours before he's going to be on the bump. But that's the level of concentration, focus, commitment that these guys have to have. Just understanding that that's what it takes, it gave me goosebumps. And the way he described it, Rome, was not unlike when you came to Sportscasters Camp and you went through your method. Whether it's sportscasting or baseball, if you're going to do it at the highest level, you got to really commit to it. I was blown away.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Tony Loughman, my guest, when you were telling that story, and I had not heard him tell that story before, in no way would I ever confuse what it is I do or what it is you do with what he was talking about and what he did. But I did understand exactly what he was talking about. In other words, man, why are you filling my mind with all this needless, mindless crap that's got nothing to do with anything I'm trying to lock in? I've got business to do. I thought that's an amazing story that you just shared. Now, Tony, you make no secret of this. You are a diehard Dodger fan. What did you make of the way Walker Buehler showed up last night?
I lost my mind. I got to be honest. 6-0. It was an absolute walloping. And I'll be totally candid. As I walked around the building trying to get the intel, I asked Dan Plesac. My sentiment going into that game was I felt some real concern because they have such a good pitching rotation. Granted, the back end for the Nats, not great, but they were second in the NL in batting average. We saw in the wild card game that they don't know what they don't know. Soto comes through huge. I was genuinely concerned. Not anymore. Two hits total last night. Buehler was masterful, but the biggest thing to me, Rome, and you and I are both SoCal guys, we know how L.A. fans can be. They love entertainment. They're not the most rabid sports fans. And I'm going to take a lot of heat for that, but I got to keep it real. They come late. They leave early. If you go back and watch the Gibson homer, there are brake lights. Who leaves a World Series game when it's a one-run game in the ninth inning? People did. Disgusting to me. This is what pleases me most. Last night, Dodger Stadium was rocking. When we played the Astros in 2017, Game 7, we're down 2 innings in, 5-0. A buddy of mine texted me from the game. I said, how quiet is it? He said, and I quote, it's so quiet you could hear a mouse piss on cotton. It's the home field advantage, Rome. We need it. Last night we had it. I felt great about it.
Tony Loughman is joining us. All right, so coming into the postseason, Tony, you know that it's World Series or bust. The Dodgers have got to finish. They've got to finally take care of their business and get it done. Knowing that, what was your biggest concern about the team coming into the postseason?
It was what I call Buffalo Bills syndrome, that they were going to be asked again and again and again, no matter what happens if you don't win? We remember all the questions that Jim Kelly and those Bills had to answer. And you used the right word, finish. They've done everything but finish. Going to the World Series 2 years in a row, that's unbelievable. What an achievement. Jim, I'm a selfish person. I've learned that through being married, and I'm trying to get better at it. But my son deserves, in his lifetime, to see, even though he's 8 months old, the Dodgers win the World Series. I have lived through two, 88 unforgettable Gibson Oral Hershiser and 81. As a clone, how could I not mention that there were three Dodgers who shared MVP honors in that World Series where the Dodgers beat the Yankees? Ron Fay, Steve Yeager, and Pedro Guerrero. Amazing!
Not only that, my man the Penguin got domed. He got crowned by Goose Gossage.
Yes.
Scary
you
stuff.
Remember?
Oh, of course I remember. You know, you mentioned that they've gone to the World Series twice in a row. Tony Loughman, my guest. I would always say this, and people thought that I was being flip, but I meant it then. I mean it now. When the Buffalo Bills lost 4 Super Bowls, I would say it takes a damn good team to lose 4 Super Bowls. It takes a hell of a team to lose 4 Super Bowls. It takes a damn good baseball team to lose the World Series back-to-back, but nobody thinks that. They have to finish. What about right now? A 1-0 series lead. They've got Clayton Kershaw going up against Steven Strasburg. How do you like that matchup?
I love it because it doesn't have to be Clayton Kershaw carrying the load. When you look at the numbers, frankly, they're unflattering. His playoff history is not outstanding. But the one thing he's missing, and we all know this, is that when you put him up against the great Dodger pitchers of all time, the Cy Youngs are there. The excellence in the regular season is there. One check is missing. One box still yet to be filled. When you think about Fernando having signature moments and Oral Hershiser having signature moments and Koufax and Drysdale and down through time, he needs a World Series ring. And the beauty of it is he does not have to be exceptional. This Dodger team is so deep. Dave Roberts is really, really fortunate that this team has the depth that it has. We are insulated from injury. I said we because that's how I bleed Dodger blue. To me, I am so excited that this year it's Corey Seager, it's short and a healthy Corey Seager. Last year, I never really felt like Manny Machado was bought in. He was a rental, and it felt that way. We've got Dodger blue all over the field. We've got depth. And in the pitching, I'm especially excited that we're not going to rely too heavily on Kenley Jansen. We saw it last night. We didn't use him one time. Joe Kelly last year in the World Series was unhittable. He looked great last night. Obviously, Buehler was unbelievable. Ryu, I feel like this team has everything it needs. And one last thing, the point you made about the Bills, Troy Aikman, who was on those Cowboys teams, same time period that won 3 Super Bowls out of 4 years, said you could probably say what they did is more impressive than what we did to go back 4 times and not win it, to stay hungry and to stay that aggressive to be able to get to the top.
Tony Loughman joining us. Tony, one last thought about the Dodgers. Since you mentioned the Dodger blue and the young talent, you know, for all that talk about the Dodgers and the amount of money that they have to spend, how impressive is it that every time you turn around, they're bringing up another insanely talented young player?
It is incredible. And it's a tribute to the depth of the organization. You're not just talking about the players on the field, but the front office and the development model. It's amazing when you look back through history how many Dodgers have won Rookie of the Year. That's not a coincidence. This is an organization that has always put a lot of time, energy, and resources into developing young talent. And in the world we live in, with the way that the numbers go, because of salaries and the way that you have to carefully spend your money, and by the way, full credit, I've been a Dodger fan through what was the McCourt era, and how sad that was. This ownership group deserves all the credit in the world. We always focus on Magic because he's the biggest name. But they have spent hundreds of millions of dollars to put this team in position, and I can't thank them. As a Dodger fan, I can't thank them enough. Not only do we have the big ticket items, but they're developing young guys that, as you point out, come up Lux right away. You think about Bellinger, Peterson, all these names we heard coming up through the pipeline, they've all arrived, and they're all ready to contribute. That's awesome.
Tony Loughman, host of Change Up of DAZN's new MLB Whip Around show. He is an NHL Network host. He is a friend of the program, good friend of the program. He is a clone. He is the former UCLA basketball manager, and I want to remind you, you can watch him host NHL Network's NHL Tonight throughout the season. I will say it again, Tony, I'm extremely proud of you. You took that opportunity. You have absolutely crushed it. Great job. Good to have you on, and I know we'll do it again soon.
My pleasure. One last thing, Jim. I want to say this about the Houston Astros. I never thought I would be more impressed by anyone from Houston than Toby. The infamous call, but this year's Astros team, even more impressive than Toby. My fellow clones know exactly what I mean.
This guy, right? Silk in Huntington Beach. Silk Bra. Yo, Bra, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Silk. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, if Hawk's looking to lose some weight, I know how he can lose about 18 pounds to his abs in 1 week, and that's doing the TB12 method. Come on.
Let's do it. No.
You don't like that cum.
I don't like that cum.
Deeked again.
Not a very good cum.
Deeked again.
Come on.
You know how I knew that was not Silk? You know how I knew that was the fake Silk? Number one, he sounds nothing like the real Silk. Alvin has had an enormous week editing down and preparing the playback for the week that was. It sounds like this.
Straight to it. I like it. Straight to it.
Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. Fresh off my New York run. Hey, Alvin, I'm thinking ahead.
Yeah,
I know you're going to use that in the week that was. I know I'm going to hear that back.
Correct.
I'll start by asking you, how was your weekend? Because that NFL weekend was busy as hell. Like Tampa Bay flying across the country and dropping 55 on the Rams.
55! Yeah! To the 20, to the 50, sue him again!
I've seen some weird things in the NFL so far at the quarter point. That was the strangest thing I've seen so far. A double nickel from the Bucs on the Rams.
A new Buccaneer record.
And it's an easy interception for New England. It is Collins who comes up with it, and he goes out of bounds.
That sucks. It would have been so incredible to win that game on that drive. Can you imagine what they would have been like at 4-0 with a win over the dynastic Patriots? I'm pretty sure the world would have completely imploded.
Yeah, perfect. Always been a head case.
How and why is this guy still in the NFL? He has been suspended multiple times for hits. In an era of player safety, Perfect is the league's most unsafe player. How is this guy still in the NFL? We're talking to Ross Tucker.
He should never be allowed on the field again. Nine times. For questionable behavior. I don't ever want to see that dude inside the white lines ever again because I'm scared of how it could end at some point.
Good to have you. Corey, how are you?
With a three-man pass rush, the second best quarterback in the NFL can't scrape 13.
Dude, the nerves. He lacked composure and poise. He was jittery.
Who else but Khalil Mack?
This guy is unblockable. He can say whatever the hell he wants.
Dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
Read about that, Khalil.
Email.
Khalil Mack didn't want to poop here, man.
Khalil Mack didn't want to poop here.
Play here. Mike Norvell is their coach. He joins us.
Oh, doing well, Jim. No, I can always use a little bit of that jungle karma, right? Anytime I can get it.
Karma.
And look who's in first in the AFC North. The Cleveland Browns. They're not a finished product, but America's team was in the building yesterday, and they were wearing white shirts, orange pants, and Baltimore's faces on the bottom of their cleats.
I'm just upset I lost my earrings.
Jerry Rice is my guest.
My favorite is jalapeno cheddar because I felt like I was a little spicy on the football field when I played. Hey, you think I could have put that on my jersey back in the day?
For sure.
What's his name, that Rice-A-Roni guy?
Sacking Andy Dalton on the Bengals last
night. I don't know what else we can say about the Steelers last night other than it's a good thing they didn't lose to Cincinnati. The best thing I can say about the Bengals, they were all kinds of horrible.
If you take a SoCal skank that's an 8 in the great state of California and you drop her into the Commonwealth of Virginia gym, the 804, she immediately becomes a 3.
Because you're one chicken fried steak meal appetizer from losing your
battle with gout and high cholesterol, you puke.
Talking about Nate Burleson.
What's good, brother?
And let me just throw this out there. You are the freshest of the freshest. I be peeping your style. I peep the shoes, the tie, the suit. I love working with you, man. Listen, a lot of people can dress the game, but to be able to talk the game, I'm just glad that you're one of my brothers in the business.
My spleen at this point is going to do what it's
going to
do.
Make sure you're 100%, no, 1,000% that your spleen is not going to rupture. Can you hit the spleen with Toradol?
This clown named Jim Harbaugh, no more time. Time to pay the due. Failure. I smell it. You reek of failure. I see it in your face. You're weak.
It's intercepted on the near side. Michael Davis.
We're joined by Rayshon Jenkins. You told Michael Davis that he was going to get an INT, and sure enough, he did.
I like to speak things into existence, so, you know, I put it in the air. It's just one of those things you feel.
Enjoy it while you can, Nats fan, because you're about to get put through the wood chipper with the Dodgers. But you did win a postseason game, even if the Brewers threw it away. Sean Casey. Sean, what about the Astros?
Bro, I mean, you nailed it, man. These guys are killing. They're coming for you. They come for you all night long. They did it every game this season.
Joe Schobert is my guest.
I'm doing good. Thanks for the intro. Really pumps me up.
How good can this team be? What's the ceiling look like to you?
We play a complete football game when there's nobody in the league that we can't hang with.
One guy in there in the tip of the box. It's astounding. For close to 30 years, it's a brutal business, man. And you're the GOAT, bro.
Charles Robinson is joining us.
Who's there to question John Elway?
Hey, John.
I think the reality is John Elway is the owner of the Broncos.
Thank you to John Elway.
Josh Lambeau is my guest. What's it like when you don't make that kick and you got to get on that same plane?
Some guys might mother... Yes, I would prefer everyone to just kind of stay away from me. You know, I'm not going up to a guard. Hey, man, it's okay. You let up that sack. Don't worry about it.
Tyler Edmondson DM'd me this morning. I wanted to tell you that moment.
Let's have that. What did he say?
Yeah, he said, well, hey, if you want to play along with something, let's do it. I'm thinking, Tyler, brother, you're Tyler from Edmonton. We're going to call you Carl Anderson. And I go, oh, wow.
Come on.
Tony Loughman is my guest.
May I salute you publicly for the first on being a Hall of Famer. On behalf of all your clones, we are thrilled for you.
You can't even argue that one. It was 100% foul.
That's a foul!
Insta-skank. Thanks so much, and go Tigers.
Anytime, Romy. Great talking to you, my man.
Do your civic duty, man.
What?
Point my sword at somebody else.
Colin Smears.
Hello.
Beats being a plumber.
Bro, Guerrero.
Fred and Buffalo knocked one out.
And until next time, Jim...
Good night now! Come on! Come on. How sweet it was.
Good night now!